Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. Cindy Heidelberger-Larson is Associate Director of Groundworks Midwest. She joins us now in the studios at the University of Sioux Falls to talk about gardens and youth mentorship and tending to the sprouts in our own communities.
What a wonderful segue. Kudos.
Welcome. And Cindy knows everybody. Guests are coming out and coming in, and it's an interwoven community here today.
It is. Well, I just noticed you had John Hunter on, and I, of course, grew up in Madison, so shout out to
Hi, John
the
Hunter,
Daily Leader
one of our
and PJM and whatever. And I have a seminary degree, so I've done actually a biblical network of biblical scholars convention with Dr. Swanson.
So, all right. So yeah. This boy who was with him, Alex Meyer, college student in Augustana, mm-hmm. was talking about how he picked Augustana because it was close to home. And mm-hmm. that's one of those things that when you stay close to home, you get those lifelong connections. You know everybody.
You know everybody. Yep. I'm a debater and an interpreter from way back, so I know a lot of South Dakota.
Oh, wonderful. All right. So let's talk about Groundworks Midwest. What's the organization?
Well, we are about 7 years old. We are a nonprofit, and we specialize in teaching gardens. And that's very different from a community garden.
Okay.
Because with a community garden, you've got a lot of individuals that are kind of, you know, either paying for a fee or whatnot, and they kind of attend it. This is actually linked to their education. So we make sure that we're looking at the education standards in STEM. And I have to throw out the A in there for the mm-hmm. STEAM, for the arts in there, because, you know, that's also applicable. But we make sure that we're taking a look at the materials that we're developing, the curriculum, whatnot, and make sure that those are adhering to our state standards.
All right.
So that if our teachers or our students are utilizing these teaching gardens in their classroom, it is not an add-on, but it's embedded into everything that they do.
What's the difference?
Well, teachers have a plethora of things that they need to do in and of themselves in the first place. So if we can look at something like a teaching garden, and we can look at it from an interdisciplinary aspect, and you can link your science, your math, your engineering, but your social studies, your language arts, all of that, they're more likely to use it. And you can link it to health. So one standalone lesson or one standalone idea is not going to work, especially with our teachers now. You've got to embed it into everything that they're doing because they just literally don't have the time.
So who creates the lesson plan then, or gives suggestions to how language arts and a garden
You're looking at
can
it.
Connect?
You're looking at it. And we have we make sure that we have at our disposal. We don't want to dispose of them. But we make sure that we are tapping into the experts in those fields so that we're not just putting out their fluff information, that everything is researched, everything is documented. We just became the new organizing agency for South Dakota Ag in the Classroom. Well, this gives us an opportunity to tap into all of those commodity groups, all of those agribusinesses, all of those that are in the field working, so to speak, mm-hmm. no pun intended, and to glean from them. You like that one,
yeah,
right?
I do.
That
was
good. Glean from them what are the principles, what are the lessons, what do you want those students walking away knowing and understanding, and we have the vehicle by which it can be delivered.
What's the impact of that? Because that connects to the whole farm to table movement then.
Oh, that's
huge. So kids in the city or wherever know, hey, you live in South Dakota.
You live in South Dakota. And it's amazing, you'd think that living in South Dakota that our students would have a much broader understanding and definition of agriculture. They don't. Oh. They really don't. Our students, especially within Sioux Falls, in some of the areas that we're working with, I'm thinking of Hayward Elementary, McGovern Middle School, those are food and service desert areas. So mm-hmm. the services and the opportunities for those students are really pretty limited. So when you're talking about agriculture, I worked with a student last year at Hayward. I handed him a shovel and said, go on up into this bed and turn the soil. And he looked at me like I had grown a third head. And I said, okay, what? And he goes, I don't know what a shovel is, Miss Cindy. Okay. And, you know, if we're talking about students that are in our city and they're in a predominantly service deficit area, they're not going to have that understanding.
So paint the picture for me. I'm thinking of McGovern Middle mm-hmm. School. I've been there. Why is it a food and service desert?
Considering that the closest area for like a Hayward or a McGovern for good, fresh food or healthy food options would be the Hy-Vee on Marion and 22nd, 26th in that area. That's a long way
and
to trek.
It's not close.
No, and you're trekking through 10th Street and you're going across all of that traffic. Well,
if you're a kid, you're not walking there.
No, you're not walking there. Mm-mm. No, and I'm a mom. I'm not putting my kids on a bike
right.
to cross 10th Street.
It's not there.
It's not going. It's
interesting.
Not there. Yeah.
Okay, so how does that impact them you know, growing up versus my daughter who lives down the street from a grocery store mm-hmm. that has fresh produce?
Well, they don't know where their food is coming from, first and foremost. Okay. The other interesting thing that we're finding, too, is that a lot of people's understanding of agriculture is a farm, when there's a whole nother aspect of agriculture that is also really important. It's not just farm. It's all of those businesses that deal with agriculture on a day-to-day basis. I'm thinking of the Ravens, the Poets, all of those that deal with agriculture. It's not just, you know, the idyllic farm where we're all frolicking around. It's
not just baby lambs.
It's not just baby lambs that you come and pet, which have their place and it's necessary. But there's a whole aspect of agriculture that we're not tapping into and we're not understanding how much technology has impacted agriculture.
Right.
You know, I don't have the whole horticulture and ag background that a lot of my colleagues do, but even just in terms of the number of yields that a field of corn or soybeans will turn around and be able to produce now is significantly higher than it was 10, 15 years ago.
Sure.
That's the influence of technology and science and research.
And where it goes.
These kids have no idea how a jug of milk gets from where it's produced or where it's, I don't know, pulled from the dairy farm. They have no idea all of the steps and all of the people that it takes to get that on their shelves.
Sure. All right. So you've got something coming up here, Boys and Girls Club of the Sioux Empire. What's going on?
We were just out there today, actually, and this is a wonderful opportunity. So shout out to the Boys and Girls Club over there on Sneave Avenue. We will be turning around and building 4 teaching gardens with Boys and Girls Club. And there we get to, and as you're looking at the Boys and Girls Club, they serve students and kiddos from 4 weeks old through age 18. Hmm. And I just interacted with a little 2-year-old today that every day he goes in and he makes rain. His teacher said he's a rainmaker because he takes his little spray bottle of water and waters the hibiscus. And of course, because the light is streaming in, you've got a rainbow. So he's making rain.
Love it.
So he gets to be out there on Friday, 1:30 in the afternoon, where we're building and literally out there with shovels and buckets and ice cream pails and putting the compost and soil in the beds as well.
All right. So it's not a daycare. It's an after-school program. It's a summer program.
Boys and Girls Club it's an after-school programming. They also run through the summer and they provide care and education services to students and children 4 weeks all the way up to age 18.
Okay.
It's amazing.
So who's funding the garden and the supplies and the effort?
Well, Groundworks does a lot of that, but with each one of our sites that we work with, schools or other entities like Dakota Abilities is one of our sites as well, is that we do ask them to put some skin in the game. And for this one, they are coming up with some of the funding that goes to pay for the soil that goes into the beds, that goes for the wood to make the teaching garden beds, because we want to make sure that the soil and the compost that's in there is the best of the best.
Right.
And so making sure also that, hi, Keely. I just saw Keely.
She knows more people. She's looking out the window and she knows more people.
Yeah, I taught Keely. So it's kind of nice to see you. Hi, Keely. She can't hear me now, but that was fun.
How do you make sure that it's successful, for the students right out of the gate so that they, can see things, work? Because not everything's going to work.
Oh, not everything's
going to
work.
A garden that totally flops is a big disappointment.
And we had
not that I speak from experience on that.
And there's some elements out of our control that we just can't at all. Mother Nature and weather, that's one I just simply can't control. Maybe we can talk to Sean Cable and get him to do something. I don't know. But one of the first things that we do is help establish a leadership team. And because one person's really great idea is not sustainable. And we learned that lesson with our first site that was in the midst of Sioux Falls, is that it was a lot of agency-driven individuals. We didn't necessarily build a solid leadership team that came from teachers and community members within that neighborhood. And we learned from that, because then there's no one to tap into to say, you know what, we need some help supervising these students at a summer camp, or we need some help turning around and weeding and watering in the summertime.
Right.
So if you don't build that leadership team, you don't have anything backing you. You don't have the substance underneath of you. So we always say to a school or an entity, you've got to have at least 2 or 3 individuals or teachers that kind of like this idea, that champion it, and then we go from there and help them build. So we constantly ask the question, who else needs to be at the table?
Right.
Like one of the huge ones a lot of people forget about is custodians. Mm-hmm. We were out walking the area that we're going to build at this morning, and a shout out to Results Radio and Dave Roberts over at Results Radio. He's going to act as our foreman this weekend and
Wonderful.
Help us build. So it's great to see that partnership. But one of the first questions I asked was, how large is the mower head on your mower?
Why?
Well, they need to be able to mow in between those beds.
Right.
And they have a fence area, a little gate, cute little quaint area. And we're trying to figure out, so how far away from that fence area do we place the beds? Well, we need to figure out how big is the mower head. So you've got to be able to work with that as well.
All right. We're going to have you back. There's a teaching garden build on Friday, May 12th. And this is Cindy Heidelberger Larson, Associate Director of Groundworks Midwest. She knows everyone. She probably knows you right now. Cindy, thank you so much
thank
for being
you.
Here. Come back and talk to us more in the future.
Will do. Thanks.